how much contact you have with Michael for the business side of things, and how much contact you have with the playing status of Michael?
Well, Dan, it's pretty interesting because the one thing Michael and I never talk about is the playing aspect of it, because I know what he's in the process of doing, and I know Michael well enough to know that he basically wanted to take the time to work out and start upping the level of his competition to find out where he is. So I knew what his game plan basically was to try to get himself in a position to make his decision. So I have not talked to him at all, really, from the playing standpoint of it, other than to say, you know, Michael, you know, just, you know, let me know, obviously, when you know, made your mind up about what you're going to do. So most of the stuff that he and I talk about are from the business side of it. And Dan, I will tell you, he's been absolutely great to me from the moment I have gone there. Anything that he feels like is a decision, you know, that that he needs to make regarding the franchise, he calls me and we talk about it, and he wants to know what I feel about it. So I feel very good that from the business side of it, that he's always called me and kept me abreast and has wanted my opinion on what he thinks is good for the organization. Now, obviously, he's going to make the final say, but I mean, I feel very good that he always, you know, talks to me about everything.
Doug Collins, head coach of the Washington Wizards, joining us on ESPN Radio. All right, I'll give you my thoughts when I first heard that you were taking the job. And
okay.
And if you want to edit what I said, then feel free. But I said there's no way you take that job unless you know that Michael, in his mind, is 100% sure or close to that of coming back. And maybe that changed a little bit when he broke his ribs, but you are still under the impression that Michael will come back. Therefore, that makes that first year in D.C. a little bit easier for you instead of taking over a team that wasn't very good.
Well, Dan, the one thing that you're right on is that I was 100% making sure that he was going to be with the Washington Wizards, you know, in some capacity, whether it be the president or whether it be the coach, that, you know, if he got the itch to play and was going to play, that he didn't divest himself of the team and then go play somewhere else. So I wanted to make sure that Michael was committed to Washington, and he said he is committed to Washington as the president. From that point on, I did not press him about, you know, Michael, are you going to play? What's the chances of you going to play? Because I know Michael well enough to know that when the word got out that he was working to play, I knew in his mind that's what he wanted to do. I think the question was going to be, could he get himself in the kind of condition to play the way he wanted to play? And you hit upon it. You know, he was going great, and then he got those broken ribs that set him back for about 5 weeks, which really has pushed the decision back. But, you know, Dan, I think a lot of people have me miscalculated that I couldn't deal with a team that loses games or whatever, you know, because I am a competitor and I want to win. But the one thing I've always done is I've had a lot of young players wherever I've been. Now, in Chicago, obviously, one of those young guys was Michael Jordan, so I think you throw him out, he's in a different class. But you want to talk about the Scottie Pippens and the Horace Grants and Grant Hill, Allen Houston, Lindsey Hunter, Theo Ratliff, Scott Pollard, Don Reed, all those guys were basically first-year players or second-year players when I had them. So the thought of having a young team has never really frightened me away, but I do know that if Michael did play, it would make my job a lot easier, just from the standpoint of, obviously, we could win more games, and secondly, just what he would mean to the team every single day by the way he does his job.
All right, I feel like I'm guarding you here back in your playing days.
Now,
you've done, you know, there's been a hesitation dribble a little bit and, you know, shake and bake with the Jordan. I'm going to ask you one more question with Jordan, and we'll move on, and that
Dan, the one thing I want you to know is I am in no way trying to dance around, because Michael has not decided yet. I'm telling you, he's got a couple things he has to do. First of all, if he decides, he's got to figure out through the league office about the way to divest himself of being an owner and what he has to do and the process that goes with that so that he can play. And, you know, obviously that's been done before with Magic Johnson, so that wouldn't be any kind of precedent. But, you know, I've been sort of going through this since I took over the job, people thinking I'm hedging about, you know, what I say about Michael. I can be honest, I can tell you right now, you know, if somebody pressed me and put a gun to my head and said, is Michael Jordan going to play? I'll say, I don't know. I really don't.
Are you planning on him playing?
You know what? I talked to him yesterday, and he and I spoke for about 20 or 30 minutes on the phone. And it's funny how your mind works, but I came home, and I sort of sitting on the edge of my bed, and I got out a notebook, and I started drawing plays up that if he were to play, plays I thought that would really work for Michael, especially with the new rules and the way I'd like to get him the ball and stuff. So I sort of have two different game plans. And one of the things I've always done as a coach, Dan, is I've been flexible from the standpoint of whatever kind of talent I have, I try to gear my system, you know, to bring out the best in those players. You know, when I had Terry Mills in Detroit, a 6'11 guy, that we created a lot of opportunity for him to be a deep shooter because he was one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. So I've got plays set that if Michael plays and plays that if he doesn't. So I don't want you to think I'm dancing. I wouldn't come on your show here for you and I to tap dance with each other because I have too much respect for you for that.
There was a story that just crossed. Tim Grover, who works out with Jordan and has worked out with Michael the last 12 years, thinks that the rib injury puts his comeback in serious doubt because of the time off that he took or needed to take for that those ribs to heal. So that just came over Grover talking to the Chicago Sun-Times.
Well, Dan, the one thing about Michael, and you know this, Michael is not going to do anything unless he feels like he can do it well. But on the flip side of that, now remember, this is a guy who walked away from basketball in 93 after three championships and went and rode buses in the minor leagues in baseball and hit 210. So Michael has never been afraid to put himself in a position, you know, to risk what others might view as failure. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think if Michael can get healthy, if Michael can get healthy and stay healthy for a long period of time, and I think that's what this period of time has been for him, where he can get out and play every single day and do the things he wants to do to gear where he is, especially getting his legs back, because that was such a big part of his game. And right before he broke his ribs, Dan, he really had done no training with his legs. Everything he's done was getting his upper body stronger and doing all those kind of things. And then he had to go on that five-week period where basically he couldn't do any of that stuff. So, you know, from his standpoint, he's 5 weeks behind physically where he really would like to be right now.